Our class is supposed to be a class about the Parshas HaShavua. And this week, I think it's easier than other weeks to really identify what is the central theme of this week's Parsha. So it so happens that Parshas Nitzavim is a very short Parsha, so it's a little bit easier to go through the Parsha and to understand what the theme really is. But there is no doubt that the theme is actually something that is also very relevant to this time of year, and it's clearly the theme of Tshuva. As we know, the Psukim tell us in Parshas Nitzavim, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, V'shav Hashem Elokecha, Shvuzcha v'richamecha, U'mal Hashem Elokecha, Slavavcha v'aslavav zarecha. There's a lot of discussion about tshuva and about our opportunity to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is really what is most accented and most highlighted in this week's Parsha. So, we're going to get into it, and the topic that I'd like to talk about today is the idea of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro when it comes to tshuva. Sometimes we think about tshuva, it's almost easier to deal with the issues that we have between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've done things wrong. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do tshuva. I know that He promised us that He's going to accept our tshuva. So in some way, it's easier. I was actually talking to Mrs. Sabalovsky this morning, and she wrote to me that she's trying to keep up. She's listening to my shiurim or something, and she said, you know, my husband says, we're so busy giving shiurim, we don't have time to do tshuva. It's such a great line, so true. But we're so busy doing other things. Halavai. Halavai, we should have the opportunity to actually think sincerely and deeply about tshuva. I don't want anyone to be marked absent that's really here, so just remind me your name.
Lily?
Lily,
yeah.
Okay, I'll get that after. Okay, thank you. So tshuva is something that I find is almost easier to do when we're dealing with Bein Adam Lamakom than it is when we're talking about something that is Bein Adam Lachaveiro. So that's why I thought it was important to talk about this. Number two, I myself, like all of us, am trying to do a little bit of a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and I'm trying to think a little bit about things that I hope to repair and hope to make better. I happen to be in the middle of a discussion now with a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issue where somebody feels extremely slighted, and in trying to work it through with them, I thought that it was an opportunity for me to actually get back into it and try to understand. So what happens when you have an issue Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? How do we deal with it? And what exactly is it all about? So let's see what the Rambam says. We begin with a very surprising comment of the Rambam. Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Aleph. So I put it up here just so that it's easier for everybody. In the last class, we had girls were taking their laptops off the desk, putting it on the desk, trying to take notes all at the same time. If this is not easier for anybody, I'm happy to do it the old-fashioned way. But I assume this is easier. So the Rambam writes, Kol mitzvah sheva Torah, bein esei, bein los asei. The Rambam says, all mitzvahs in the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah asei or a los asei, a positive or negative commandment, im avar adam al achas mehen. If somebody violated one of them, bein bezadon, bein bishkaga, whether it is intentional, whether it is something that was done inadvertently, kisha yasa tshuva, says the Rambam. When you do tshuva, v'yashu mecheto, and you then repent from the terrible thing you have done wrong, how is it supposed to be done, says the Rambam? Chayv lis vados lifnei Hashem. You have to say, ashamnu, you have to say, I did something wrong, that's what tshuva is. And vidui ze mitzvah saseh. When you're doing tshuva, says the Rambam, this component of saying vidui is part of the mitzvah. Anybody have anything troubling about this Rambam? Again, this is Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchos Tshuva, which means, first thing you need to know about the mitzvah of tshuva. So how does the Rambam start off any other mitzvah when he describes it? What's the first thing he needs to tell us? We need to first establish that this is a mitzvah. Right? When we talk about sitting in the sukkah, so the first thing we need to know is, well, the psukim say you need to sit in the sukkah. The first thing we need to know by blowing the shofar is, the psukim tell us that on Rosh Hashanah we need to blow the shofar. Suddenly over here we come to a mitzvah where the Rambam doesn't tell us that there's any mitzvah of tshuva. All he says is, it so happens that if somebody, kisha yasa tshuva, if you so choose to do tshuva, then this is how it should be done. That's a very strange way to formulate the halacha. Which leads, vi minchas chinuch, to the following conclusion. Minchas Chinuch writes very surprisingly, mitzvah shin samach dalet, that in fact there is no mitzvah to do tshuva. There's no mitzvah. It's an opportunity that we're all given. It's what he refers to as a mitzvah kiyumis, which means if I want to take advantage of this gift, I can and I should, and I'll get reward for it. And this is how to do it. That's why the Rambam formulates it this way, where he writes, this is the process that one needs to go through to actually come to an understanding of tshuva. However, the premise, says the Menchas Chinuch, is that there is no active mitzvah of tshuva. Does that sound bothersome to anybody here? Tzurav Soloveitchik and many others found this to be something that was untenable. Rav Soloveitchik writes in his Sefer Al HaTshuva in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who said in the name of his grandfather, the Beis HaLevi, if you know the Whisker dynasty, you'll understand who we're talking about, but this was a very strong tradition in their family that we completely reject and we challenge and oppose the position of the Minchas Chinuch. How is it possible that there's no mitzvah of tshuva? How can that be? The psukim, after all, the Ramban writes on Chumash, Rabbi Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, that the psukim so clearly outline the mitzvah of tshuva. The psukim in our parasha talk about the opportunity of tshuva. This is not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, if you want to, this is how you do it. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you need to do it. You must do tshuva. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik says that this is something that we feel is a mitzvah, like the Ramban's opinion, like Rabbeinu Yonah, like other Rishonim. Second. That tshuva is an actual mitzvah. And it's something that we all need to be aware of. And Rav Soloveitchik proved it from a number of different sources in the Rambam as well. And he came to the conclusion that this is a mitzvah. Okay. But it leads him to a very novel interpretation regarding the nature of the mitzvah of tshuva in general. Rav Soloveitchik suggests as follows, where he says, there are some mitzvahs which are very straightforward. Take for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to sit in the sukkah. So you're going to have a nicer sukkah, fancier sukkah, cheaper sukkah, it doesn't matter, those are details. But your mitzvah is to find yourself in the sukkah on the first day of Sukkot. That's the mitzvah. What happens if I wasn't thinking about it? What happens if I'm sitting in the sukkah and I'm really just not feeling well? I'm not excited to be in the sukkah. Does that matter? It doesn't matter. In the end of the day, I did the mitzvah. I sat in the sukkah. And Rav Soloveitchik said, most of the mitzvahs that we do are one act with one result. That's very clear. This is what you're supposed to do. This is the result you're supposed to get. Go sit in the sukkah. Well, if you did that, then you've accomplished what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to do. End of story. Nothing more to discuss. However, he says, there are other mitzvahs where the maisa, where the expectation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and the totsah, and the outcome, the objective, are not always going to be the same. So for example, he talks about the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv. The Gemara tells us, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv? We have a mitzvah, the Samachta B'Chagecha. How do I do that? Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. How am I supposed to do that? So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, the answer is, it depends who you are. Men, the Gemara is making a general statement, which is not always the case for men or women, but the Gemara is just saying in theory, and take it from here. So says the Gemara, men generally like fine wines and delicious meats, and therefore for them, Simchas Yamtiv means make sure that you have very good wines and very good meats, and then you'll have the opportunity to express your Simchas Yamtiv. Women, says the Gemara, don't always enjoy eating heavy meals like that with wine. Sometimes obviously women do, sometimes men don't. But again, the Gemara is just generalizing the categories. And the Gemara says, what would a woman appreciate more than meat and wine? Tachshitim. A woman wants a new article of clothing. She wants jewelry. She wants something to make herself feel good. And therefore, the Gemara says that it's the responsibility of a husband to make sure that his wife is provided with her opportunity of Simchas Yamtiv by wearing something special for Yamtiv, by having something extra special that she otherwise would not have had. So when you get married, keep that in mind, tell your husbands. It's the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv. Of course, if it was only up to you, you would never ask for such a thing. But it's the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv. What can I do? A new piece of jewelry is something I was supposed to have. And the Gemara says for children, it's very different. Children don't enjoy fancy meats and wines. Children don't enjoy jewelry. Children don't want a new article of clothing. What does a kid want? candy. Kol Yosef Gozim, says the Gemara, give them candy. That's what they're happy with. And that is Simchas Yatzus, says of salivation. Let's say I do all of that. I eat the meat, I drink the wine, I buy the jewelry, I get the kids the candy, everyone does. And we are having a miserable Yontif. And everyone's in a bad mood, and they're all fighting with each other, and we hate the Yontif. Have we fulfilled the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? No. Because Simchas Yontif is not just a mitzvah where the Torah tells us do X or do Y. It goes beyond that. Simchas Yontif is, all of that is supposed to lead us to a point where we feel something. It's a kiyum shebelev. So for example, Rav Soloveitchik said, taking the opposite extreme, we know that there are many nivugei avedos. If God forbid, or Rachmana Litzlan, somebody loses a close relative, so they're supposed to sit Shiva. What do you do during Shiva? So they take their shoes off, they sit on the floor, all different kinds of things, they don't shower. All right. So what happens? If a person sits for a whole week of Shiva, sitting on the floor, not wearing other shoes, not showering, doing everything that a Navi is supposed to do. But at no point during the week do they feel sad about the loss. Have they fulfilled the mitzvah of Avelus or not? Rav Soloveitchik suggests, it's a novel chiddush, but it makes so much sense, that this mitzvah of Avelus is not just do X and then you've done your mitzvah. It's not like sitting in the sukkah or shaking the lulav or blowing the shofar, where either you did it or you didn't. It's far beyond that. It's that we want you to do these actions because it should lead you to a feeling of pain. And if you didn't have that, it means you've missed what Avelus is. And you've missed what Simchas Yontif is. This is why in Soloveitchik said, the Mishnah says, when we have, let's say, somebody sitting Shiva, and then Yontif comes out in the middle of Shiva. What's the halacha? So we know you quit the Shiva. Stop in the middle. Why? Why do you stop in the middle? We have many times we're expected to do multiple things as Jews. Right? I wear talis and tefillin in the morning at the same time that I daven. Now, well, why? Why don't you say, oh, right now I'm supposed to daven, right now you wear tefillin. We do lots of things at the same time. Why would it be so bad for somebody to sit Shiva on Yom Tov? What? The answer is, because of Soloveitchik said, because it's not just you can't have Simchas Yom Tov, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting opposite feelings at the same time. On the one hand, an Avel needs to feel, not just do, the Avel needs to feel the sense of Avelus. On the other hand, somebody experiencing Yom Tov doesn't just need to eat meat and drink wine and have clothing that are nice, but they also need to feel the expression of Simcha. How is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can expect of me to have two conflicting feelings and emotions at the same time? And that is why one has to give. That is why we assume when you have Yom Tov that is now confronted with Avelus, Yom Tov takes precedent and we push Avelus out of the way. But it has to be that way. And therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, if you follow this train of thought, he explains that this is really what Tshuva is all about. What the Rambam says here is that when a person does Tshuva, it's not just that you go through the motions and you have to ask Mechila, and you have to klap al chait, and you have to go to shul, and you have to do all the things that the Rambam describes here in the process of tshuva. It's more than that. It's that it's a kiyum shevalev, it's a sense, it's a feeling of remorse and regret. Imagine a person goes to shul, sits there the entire Yom Kippur, stands on their feet, doesn't say a word during davening, minds their own business, is davening with kavana, but at no point over Yom Kippur did they actually think about any feelings of charata. At no point did they feel remorse for what it is that they've done. Says of Soloveitchik, they have not been mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva. Of course not. Because this is a mitzvah that can only be mekuyam belev. It's something that obviously we need to follow the steps to be able to fulfill. But once you've done those steps, it's supposed to lead you to a point where you have a certain feeling, where you have a sensational understanding of what it is that tshuva is really all about. And that is so fundamental, that is so important. Let's see. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, I didn't put it on here, sorry. Adam sheyesh biyado avero misvada ve'eino chozer bo. So the Gemara talks about, let's say you have a situation where he does an avera, umisvada, and he does vidoy, ve'eino chozer bo, and he doesn't go back. Lemahu dome. La'adam shetofei sheretz biyado. Sha'afilu tova b'chol meimo sheva olam la'olso lo tefila. Imagine you have somebody who's impure, and they go into the mikvah holding something that's not, that's impure itself. You're never going to become pure. You're still holding this thing. So too, the Gemara says over here, Rashi explains, that what are we talking about? Rashi says, for example, gazav lo hisir es agzela. Let's say a person steals and doesn't give back the money. You can be sorry all you want, but you've done nothing, right? Because so long as you're still holding the item that belongs to somebody else, you have not accomplished your goal. Which is why I brought this today, because I found this the other week on somebody's desk here after class. Does it belong to anybody? Because we're talking about being Meshev Esagzela. Okay. If you know whose it is, let me know. I've been carrying it around since. Says Rashi, if you didn't give it back, it's like tovel the sheretz biyado. It's like you're going into a mikvah with the impure item in your hands. Of course, it's not going to work. But the Rambam explains very differently. The Rambam explains, this is referring to a person that does tshuva, but doesn't feel it. Below his svade. Says the Rambam, kala misvade bidvarim velo gamar b'liv olazov. What if a person says the vidui, pounding on their chest, sitting in shul, doing everything that a person's supposed to do, and yet, lo gamar b'livo lazov. At no point do you make up in your heart a feeling that you're actually distancing yourself from this kind of behavior. In such a case, says the Rambam, that is domel tovo v'sheretz biyado, she'ein hatfilo me'eleslo. Says the Rambam, that's what it means. When we go through the process of tshuva, Rav Soloveitchik explains, it means a person needs to have that feeling. It's not just doing what we need to do, it's having a certain feeling of why it is that we're doing all these steps in the process of tshuva. It's a very obvious question when you come to the mitzvah of tshuva. If you believe, like the Ramban, or like the Shari Tshuva, this is actually a mitzvah saseh to do tshuva, then you have to ask yourself, why is this the anomaly? Why is it that there is no bracha that is recited when one engages in the mitzvah of tshuva? Why don't we make a bracha Erev Yom Kippur? Erev Rosh Hashanah, whenever, and say, Asher kedishanu mitzvos v'tzivanu al mitzvos ha-tshuva. Why is it different than any other bracha that we make for any other mitzvah that we observe? Both a mitzvah d'araisa d'rabbanan, we make brachas all the time. Right? L'hatikner shal Chanukah, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but we make a bracha. So this, which according to the Ramban and other Rishonim, is an actual mitzvah d'araisa, why is it that we don't make a bracha? How is that to be understood? So many Achronim deal with this question, and they give a variety of answers. Number one, some Achronim say, what does it mean when I make a bracha? Asher kedishanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, you have instructed me to do the following. So it makes sense. If I'm talking about the mitzvah of sitting in sukkah, I say, Asher kedishanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, leishev asukkah. If I'm talking about blowing the shofar, so it makes sense to say, Asher kedishanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, Lishma called shofar, right? However, what happens by the mitzvah of tshuva? Does it make sense to say, you know, I once had somebody in our community who was having serious shalom bias issues, and he comes to me in shul on Friday and he says, Shai, your mother is a lifesaver. Amazing. I said, really, why? He says, I called your mother today, I was telling her what's going on in my house, my shalom bias, she knows my wife, so she understood the whole thing. I said, what did my mother say? So he said, your mother gave me a great idea. I was on my way home from work. I was driving. It was late. Erev Shabbos. She told me, go to the store and buy your wife some flowers. And he said, it was such a great idea. Why he didn't think of it on his own, I don't know. But he said, it was a great idea. It really saved everything. So what did he do? He comes home, presents the flowers to his wife, and says, Rebbetzin Schechter told me to buy you flowers. I'm looking at the guy like, wow, you really don't get it. I don't think you'll ever get it. You can't say that. How can you say, I love you so much, somebody told me that as an expression of my love, this is what I'm supposed to do. You're mechanical. So what does it mean? I'm supposed to do tshuva. So what am I going to say? As an introduction to my tshuva, I'm going to say, you know why I'm repenting? Because you told me to repent. Not because I want to. Not because I care, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do this. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm repenting because I know it's the right thing to do. So it wouldn't make sense to introduce our opportunity of tshuva by saying kiddushanu b'mitzvos ha-mitzivanu. That would be a little bit silly. It would be a little bit strange to say such a thing. That's the suggestion that some achronim give, and I think it fits very much into what we're describing. Other achronim say, why is there no bracha when we talk about tshuva? Perhaps they suggest the reason why is because the same way the Rashba writes in a tshuva, one of the Rishonim says, why is it that before I get stuck, I don't make a bracha? Why don't I make a bracha before getting stuck? Yeah?
There's no like to see the mouth, like
it's just a pit. So it's a mitzvah that is not quantified. It's a mitzvah that can be very dependent on how much money a person chooses to give or wants to give. That's not the reason the Rashba gives. The Rashba gives a different suggestion where he says, he says it's tali bedas acherim. When am I able to make a bracha? When I am the one who holds the keys to doing this mitzvah. But what happens? Imagine for a minute the scene. You know, they say, there's a mitzvah, we say it in Kriya Shema every day, there's a mitzvah that a person should be willing to give up their life al kiddush Hashem, right? V'chol nafshecha v'chol miyodecha means I have to be willing to give up my whole life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Achronim ask Akasha, why is there no bracha? Sher Kedushan Mitzvos and Sivano Al Kiddush Hashem. If somebody sees they're about to go, Rachmana Litzlan, into a gas chamber, why don't they make a bracha? They're about to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, they're dying Al Kiddush Hashem. Why don't they make a bracha? So the answer is the same. Because it's Tali B'das Acherim. Maybe the person in the end is going to decide not to shoot. Maybe the person in the end is going to decide not to kill me. So they say the apocryphal story about the brisker, that, you know, the briskers are known to be very scrupulous about everything. So a person comes to a brisker and he says, you know, I'm going to kill you. So he says, okay, I'm prepared to die. Kiddush Hashem, give me a minute. I just have to make a bracha. And there he is with his eyes closed and he's shuckling. And he's saying with such intensity, the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvos HaMitzivanu Al Kiddush Hashem. And he opens his eyes and he sees this person got so scared off by what he saw, he ran away. But then he's concerned with a hefsek. So he starts running after him and he says, no. You know? So obviously it's a ridiculous story, but the point is true. The Rashba says, you don't make a bracha al kiddush Hashem. You don't make a bracha on something that's tali bedas acherim. What happens? An ani is going to come to my door and ask for tzedakah. So what am I going to do? One second, give me a minute. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kedushanu b'mitzvos ha'mitzivanu al mitzvah tzedakah. And I'm shuckling and I'm having so much kavanah. By the time it's done, he's so humiliated, he's so embarrassed, standing in front of my door waiting for the tzedakah, he's just going to run away. And then what happens to my bracha? So the Rashba says, you don't make a bracha on such a thing. And the same is by tshuva. Sometimes you have an additional component to the tshuva process that is necessary. If it's a mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveiro, so you need the other person to accept your tshuva. So how can I make a bracha before doing it if I don't know that the other person is actually going to accept? That's what some Rishonim suggest. And again, there are a number of different suggestions that are given to explain why it is that there is no bracha. Some say maybe the reason why, and then I'll get to your question. Some say maybe the reason why is because the Beis Yosef writes, we have on Erev Pesach, when do we make a bracha? When we check for the chametz. What's the bracha that we make? Al bir chametz. What's the main thing that we do before Pesach to the chametz? We do a bittul chametz, right? We're mevatel b'lei. We say, any chametz that I have, I don't want it to be mine. And I take it upon myself that I'm now relinquishing my ownership from that chametz. Why do we not make a bracha on the bir chametz? On the bittul chametz? So the Beis Yosef writes, the reason why is because it's a kiyum shebaleiv. That's something that I feel. You don't make a bracha on something that you feel. And that's what they write over here. That perhaps the process of tshuva has to be something more than just the rigid action of X, Y, or Z that the Rambam outlines for us of how you successfully do the process of tshuva. It's more than that. Tshuva has to be something, like Rav Soloveitchik said, is a kiyum shebaleiv. Tshuva is something that I feel. Tshuva is something that I really sincerely understand. And that's the process that I go through. And that is perhaps why we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of tshuva. Question?
I have two questions. The first, going back a few minutes, how would the Rav explain the Rambam of the language of Sheyasa?
Yeah. So, he gets into a lengthy explanation in the Sefer Ala Tshuva, if you want to look there. It's complicated in the words of the Rambam to explain it here in this forum, but it's in the Sefer Ala Tshuva. I'll tell you exactly where it is if you want to look it up.
Yeah.
The Rambam... he discusses. It's on page 38 in Sefer Alav Shuvah. That's where he quotes from his father all about how to interpret this Rambam.
Which is 38, what? 38.
38, yes. English numbers in the book, yes.
And just the second question,
such as? Only two. The Gemara gives two examples. What? Washing is a good example, not in the Gemara. That's actually a question in the Rishonim. What are the two examples? What?
Lighting candles Friday night.
Lighting candles Friday night. It's a good question. Okay. Not what the Gemara says. What? Magid in the Haggadah, there is no bracha. It's at the end, we recap by saying, thank you very much, but that's not a brachas ha-mitzvah. So the Gemara says, most obviously, Tfilas Hager. You have a convert who comes, goes into the mikvah. They can't make a bracha before and say, Asher Kedishan Mitzvah Zivano. It's just not true. They're not Jewish. But after they come up, then they could say it. And based on that, Tosis writes, in Maseches Pesachim Daf Zayin, Tosis says, maybe that's why we have developed the minhag, that when we wash, we do the same. My hands are not worthy of saying a bracha before I wash because they're dirty, because I was involved in other things. And now I'm going to wash my hands, only after I wash should I then recite a bracha. Anyway, that's an interesting discussion. But in general, there is a discussion in the Rambam and the Ravid whether we would say, what if a person forgot to make a bracha that they're supposed to make beforehand? So I lit Hanukkah candles and I realized, oh, I totally forgot about the bracha. Can I make the bracha now or not? Generally, we assume no. We paskin like the Rishonim that after the mitzvah is done, you did not recite a bracha, except for those notable exceptions that the Gemara mentions, where the nature of the mitzvah is such that we make the bracha afterward. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So, let us now go further. As we mentioned, we have mitzvah shebin adam l'chaveiro, and we have mitzvah shebin adam l'makom. So tshuva is something that is second nature when you're talking about mitzvah shebin adam l'makom. But when I'm talking about mitzvah shebin adam l'chaveiro, when I have a deficiency with another human being, something that I need to clear up, something that I need to take care of, when that's what I'm dealing with, so does that have anything to do with the ribono shel olam also? Is that just between me and the other person? So it comes Yom Kippur and I'm going to ask for mechila for all the different things I've done wrong. Do I also need to include things that I've done wrong to other people? Or is that not the ribono shel olam's business? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I worked it out with my friend, or the person who used to be my friend and is now once again my friend, so do I need to do anything further? So that's an important question. We look at a Mishnah Maseches Yuma, Perek Ches, Mishnah Tes, where the Mishnah says, Mikol Chatoseichem, what is that? Just move the mouse. Mishnah says, Mikol Chatoseichem, Ki Bayom Hazeh, because on this day, okay, Mikol Chatoseichem Lefnei Hashem Titaru, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur is going to absolve us from all of our sins, Lefnei Hashem Titaru, Aveira Shavein Alam Makom Yom HaKippur Mechaper. If you have an Aveira that is between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so along comes Yom Kippur, I take it seriously, I do tshuva, and it's Mechaper. Aveira Shavein Alam Chaveiro. But what if I have averos that are between me and another person? So then we're told, "Ein Yom Kippur mechaper ad sheiratzas chaveru." Yom Kippur is not going to take care of it until I have that other additional stage, which is making up with my friend and getting past the problem that was created. Now, what does it seem from there? What can you infer from there? It says that Yom Kippur doesn't work until you speak to your friend, which means, in the opposite direction, even if I speak to my friend and make up with him or her, yeah, you still need Yom Kippur. Correct? Does that make sense? That's what's clear from the Mishnah, that you need both. When I'm dealing with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's very different than Bein Adam L'Makom. When I'm dealing with a problem between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Kippur is going to solve my problem. When I'm dealing with Aveira Shebeit Adam L'Chaveiro, so then we assume that Yom Kippur is something that is not sufficient, but Yom Kippur is also a requirement. Yom Kippur is very much a critical component of that as well. And therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah and other Rishonim write, this is why, in some way, a mitzvah shebein adam lamakom is much less chamor than a mitzvah shebein adam lachavera. Because when I'm talking about something that's between me and God, all I need is one stage to take care of that. When I'm talking about something that's between me and another person, that also requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement and the other person's involvement. And we consider that to be more chamor in certain sense than otherwise. So that is with regard to Bein Adam LaChavero and how we assume that it ties into the Bein Adam LaMakom component on Yom HaKippur. Let's look now at the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tuf Reish Zayin. Okay, that's the second one there. Shulchan Aruch says in Tuf Reish Zayin, if there is an Avera, a particular sin, something wrong that I've taken care of already last year, velo shina aleim, and I have not gone back to be involved in that Avera, afilu hachi, says the Shulchan Aruch, yachol lachzer lizvados aleim, in subsequent years I'm allowed to go back and ask for mechila for that again. The Mishnah Berurah explains. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Af bein adam lachavero, gana v'gazal uchadomet, even if the person forgave me and I gave it back, says the Mishnah Berurah, what he's bringing out from this point is, even when I've done something as obvious, Bein Adam Lachavero, as gezel, as stealing, that's as Bein Adam Lachavero as it can get. I took my friend's property. I'm damaging this person in particular. In such a case, says the Mishnah Berurah, why is it that Yom Kippur, I should think about it one year and another year and again? My friend is not thinking about it anymore. I stole something, we all moved past it. Not enough, says the Mishnah Berurah, because mikom lakom bein adam lamakom chata, you have to understand that what I did was something that was not only between me and another person, it was also between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One avera shebein adam lachavero is obviously the issur of gezel, stealing. So let's see what the Rambam says in Ilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis Halacha Tes. I'm just using this as an example. Says the Rambam, Ein Tshuva v'Yom HaKippur Mechaprin. Tshuva is not going to help you. Yom Kippur is not going to help. Ela Alavera Shemin Adam LaMakom Kigon. Misha Achal Dabar HaAser. Aval Avera Shemin Adam LaChavero. If I have an Avera that is Bein Adam LaChavero, says the Rambam, in such a case, what happens? Kigon Achovel HaSchavero, somebody who injures another person. HaMekal HaSchavero, if you curse someone who goes low. I have to make sure that I not only give it back, but I also make up with that person. And here the Rambam says, it's not good enough if I stole from someone, I can't just give it back to them. I have to give it back to them, and then I have to fix the wrong that was created because of what I had done. Where does the Rambam get it from? The Rambam gets it from a Gemara Maseches Baba Kama, where the Gemara tells us very explicitly that this is the way it works. If you steal from someone, you have to not only give it back to them, but you also have to make sure sheyivakish mimenu, that you have to ask that person for forgiveness for what it is that you may have done. Yeah. Yes. I'm hesitant to say yes. We do, but I'm hesitant to say yes. I'll tell you why. Because I think people will snap if you tell them that. Right? Imagine if we feel guilt our entire lives for everything we ever did in the world. So this is great tzaddikim. Go every year and say, oh, let me think back to the things. I say for myself, I have enough to worry about this Yom Kippur just since last Yom Kippur. I don't know, I can't handle the load from before then. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah says we should always think about things that may have gone wrong. Because who knows? Was your tshuva really perfect when you tried to do it? Did you do everything right in that process? So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says you should do it. I believe, I'm not disagreeing with Mishnah Berurah Chalila. What I'm saying is that I think we have enough to worry about where we are right now, about Sher Husham. Maybe you don't. Great Sidkaniyos don't have to worry about such things. But, you know, bums like me have a lot to worry about, and enough to think about just from the past year, without throwing in any other additional years before then. But in theory, the Mishnah Berurah does say that that is something that is important to do. Now, when describing one who tries to attain mechila from others, the Gemara actually tells us what the formal process is all about. So there's actually somebody who called me this week and said, you know, I had a problem with someone. It was a couple of years ago, they said. over the years, they've made overtures, they have tried to reach out to the other person, and the other person is simply not willing to budge. They feel so hurt. You know, sometimes time heals. How much time? I don't know. But people are different. And this person told me that it's been years. And the person that they have this uncomfortable relationship with is just not willing to hear anything. And it's so tragic. It's so sad. When you see members of a community who are in such disagreement, or even worse, members of one family who can't get along with each other, who are fighting over something for so long, to the point where it rips families apart, and they're not inviting other half of the family to the simcha, and they can't see each other in the supermarket. It's tragic. It's a tragedy. But lemaisa, let's say you're dealing with such a person, as tragic as it is. What is the expectation of me in trying to reconcile with that individual? So we have a Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Zayin. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Chisda, Tzarech Lefaiso B'Shalosh Shuros Shoshlosha B'nei Adam. You're supposed to try having three rows of people, and then the Gemara says, Al Yivakesh Mimenu Yoser Mishalosh Ba'amin. Don't try to reach out to that person more than three times. Now it doesn't mean, are you mochamli? No. Are you mochamli? No. Are you mochamli? No. That's not what it is. It means three different times in three different situations when the thing has already calmed down a little bit, when it's reasonable that maybe you would accept my feelings of remorse, you try in three different opportunities that you're given, and if the person doesn't accept, so what are you going to do? Now, if you were to stop there, you'll ask yourself, so what's the bottom line? So I tried three times, I did what I was supposed to do, and the other party is not accepting. So now what? Now what? Should I be living with guilt the rest of my life that this person is angry at me? What should I do? The Gemara clearly says, three times and that's it. You don't have to keep trying. I don't have to keep trying, but what am I going to do? I still have this outstanding problem in front of me. So the Rambam actually addresses this. And the Rambam writes as follows. How do you pick up the end of that discussion that the Gemara has? You went three times and you tried, and your friend says, I'm so hurt, I'm not prepared to let it go. Writes the Rambam. Lo ratza chaveru limcholo. What if your friend does not want to accept the tshuva? And it's really sincere. It's not something that's just lip service. It's something that I really feel. But the friend is not willing to accept. Maybe lo shura shel gimel b'nei adam, marinu pogim bo mevakshim imenu. Lo nisratza mehem. Maybe lo shnio shlishis. Lo ratza. What if after all three attempts the person doesn't want to accept it? Manicho ba'olachlo, says the Rambam. Walk away. That's it. Vizeh shelo machal hu achote, says the Rambam. Now the tables turn. The person who is not willing to find a place in their heart to be willing to accept my tshuva, to be willing to see that I'm sincere in my overtures to try to repair the relationship, says the Rambam, that person now becomes the chote. That person is the one who has now done something wrong. Amazing. That's an amazing comment to the Rambam. And that's the way he finishes off what the Gemara actually meant here. And that is why he says, the Gemara tells us, Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper. When we're talking about a Aveira Shebein Adam Lachaveira, look back a number of days. When you're talking about an Aveira Shebein Adam Lachaveira, the Gemara says, what is Yom Kippur going to do? Ad She Yiratza Es Chaveiro. What does Yiratza mean? What? Till you appease your friend. Now, why doesn't the Gemara say, Ad She Yisratza Chaveiro? What does that mean? Until your friend is appeased. That's not what it says. It says that Yom Kippur is not mechaper until I am miratza es chaveiro. The Kri Chadosh writes that perhaps it's very specific why the Gemara terms it that way. Because my job is to try and make an effort to repair the relationship. Achi miratza es chaveiro. I went three times appropriately. I didn't just send a text. I didn't just do something flippantly. I did it very sincerely. I tried my best. Liratzos es chaveiro. Do I need to wait for that person to get over it and then say, I accept your feelings and sincere remorse that you have? No. Says the Pri Chadash, if that person is being stubborn, if that person is being unreasonable, then so be it. And it's not my problem. And that's a very important idea to keep in mind as we go through this idea, this sugya of the tshuva shebein anam lachaveiro that sometimes we are faced with. There is a fascinating Gemara in Maseches Yuma, look here in number Ches, where the Gemara tells us, Rav, havale milsa bahadi hahu tavcha. Rav had some kind of issue. Tavcha means the local, what? Butcher, the shochet, the tabach. Also the kamei b'mali yom ha'kipura, b'chadei sheyikabel nimena mechila. Fascinating. How's it supposed to work? Somebody does something wrong to you, what's supposed to happen? They should be humble enough to come to you and say, you know, I feel terrible about what I did, and I'd like to ask your mechila. I had somebody who called me 3 years ago, it was before COVID, and he said, you know, there's somebody who knows he's done something really terrible to you. We're both aware. He did. It is terrible. It was many years ago. And he said, he was much older than I was. He did something awful to me. It was extremely damaging to me. And this person called me up and said, I want you to know, it's all these years later, and he has a sick child. He has another child that went off the derech. And he thinks it might be because you have a kpeda on him. He thinks it might be that you're still angry at him for what he did. So I think you should be mochalim. I told this person, number one, I don't hold kpeda to some people. It's just not the way I live life. He did something terrible to me. I moved on. Baruch Hashem. It's the healthiest way to live. Don't hold on to things. It's not worth it. It makes your life miserable. We've seen it. But beyond that, I said, if somebody sincerely believes that they've done something so bad to me, that maybe their children are suffering as a result, which Chalila, I hope and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the case, and they don't have within them to humble themselves a little bit and give me a call and talk to me directly? They send someone else to do that work because they can't bring themselves to do it? What kind of tshuva is that? What is that? There's nothing sincere about that at all in my book, as far as I see it. And now again, it was irrelevant to this conversation because I don't hold anything against that person anyway. It's fine. Moved on. And I hope other people move on as well. But at the same time, that's not a tshuva. Let the person figure out how to humble himself just a little bit and come talk to me. Let's have a conversation. Yeah, I would like to understand, why did you do that? I don't fully understand it. Why did you try to ruin my life? I don't know. But that's what it says here. It's important for a person to realize that you are the one who's supposed to humble yourself and present yourself to the individual who you have harmed. Now here was the opposite. Rav had somebody in the community who hurt him. What did Rav do? Erev Yom Kippur, says the Gemara, he made sure to stand outside of the butcher shop. And what did he do? He's waiting for the butcher to come out to say, please, can you be mochel me? Now Rav didn't have to do that. It was the butcher's job to stand outside of Rav's house. But that's not what happened. The Gemara says Rav went to stand outside of the butcher shop. B'chadei sheyikabel mimenu mechila. In order that I should be able to accept the mechila of that person. And the Gemara says that he came outside of his store. The butcher sees Rav standing there. He knows exactly why he's there. And he just walks right by him. And he ignores him. Wasn't interested in engaging at all. Says the Gemara, a terrible thing happened to the tabach, and he, whatever, doesn't make a difference. So here's the question. If Rav doesn't want that person to suffer, why is Rav going to the butcher shop? It's not my problem. This person did something wrong to me. It's their responsibility to show up at my house, correct? Why is Rob going to the butcher shop? Why is he doing it? The answer is because Rav doesn't want this person to suffer as a result of what was done to him. Rav wants him to just be good. Rav doesn't want to have this problem here. He doesn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, "Hey, Mr. Butcher, look what you did to Rav." So Rav went out of his way and he says, "You know, I'm going to stand outside of the butcher shop because I hope that I'm going to give him the chance to ask me Mechila, and of course I'm going to say I'm Mochel him." Well, if that's the case, if all the objective here was that Rav didn't want this person to suffer as a result of him, right? If that's all it was, why didn't Rav just make a declaration in front of all of his Talmidim and say, "You know, there was somebody in town who did something terrible to me. I want everybody to know. I have no titus on him. I have no kapeda on that person. I don't care. I don't want him to suffer as a result of me. I don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be angry at him. I want all of us to move on." Why didn't Rav just do that? What was the need? What was the reason for Rav to go stand outside the butcher shop? Good question. Fair? And the answer is, you see, that obviously an indispensable part of tshuva is not just that the person should forgive me, but that I need to go through the humbling process of coming to an understanding of what I've done wrong. It's not good enough for a person to get up and make a declaration, "Anybody who's done anything wrong to me should be forgiven." It's not enough. When it's Haveru Shademerana L'Haveru, the expectation is that I'm going to actually submit myself and humbly go to the other person and say, "I've done something wrong. And it's paining me, and it bothers me, and I can't live with myself, and I don't know what to do, and I ask your mechila. And it doesn't matter whether or not you care. It's the fact that I feel terrible for what I've done to humble myself is really what tshuva is about." And it's so much what Rav Soloveitchik was talking about before. Tshuva is not just going through the steps that the Rambam describes of how you come to a tshuva process, but rather, it's coming to an understanding that tshuva is a kiyum shebelev. Tshuva is a result, an outcome of humility as a person goes through that step, as a person takes that initiative and understands that this is what needs to be done in order to reconcile, in order to get past all of the issues that one may have violated, all the things wrong that one may have done. When we talk about mechila for Avera Shebein Adam L'Chaveiro, there's a famous discussion among the Achronim of the last generation. What is a person supposed to do if they know that they've done something terrible to another person, but the other person is not aware? So whatever happened to you, you may have spoken Lashon Hara, not you. Somebody else in the world may have spoken Lashon Hara. And you said something very embarrassing about another person. That person never found out. That person will never find out. So what's the expectation now? I want to do tshuva and I need to do tshuva. To go to the person and say, "By the way, I just want you to know, it's a terrible thing. I spoke Lashon Hara about you. This is what I said. And this is who I said it to." So you're adding insult to injury. You did something wrong. Now you're going to go to the person and make it worse? The person was unaware that anything even happened. So do I have to open up the Pandora's box and say, "Oh, by the way, I want you to know this terrible thing happened. I said terrible things about you. This is who was there. This is who was not there." Now I'm going to make the person feel terrible as a result of what I'm sharing with them. But how else am I supposed to do tshuva? So let's read together. This is not the Chiddush of Rav Asher Weiss, but he just collected what the Achronim of the last generation have to say on this matter. Okay? So let's read it together. And I'll scroll down when we get past this line. So he writes, "Im tzarech l'fayis chaver kishadibar alav lashon hara." How do I deal with it when I spoke lashon hara about a person? And now you feel feelings of regret, of remorse, and I want to repair that which I have done wrong. Should I go and try to make up with that person? Or would you say, since by going to my friend and sharing the information with him or her, it will make that person have more pain, V'tov shelo yidienu v'lo yifaisenu. Maybe it's better just to leave it as is. Don't say anything. Hine yadua b'shem amud ha-Torah v'amusar agonir b'Yisrael salam tosha amar. Shebeki ha-gavna ein lo la'adam rishus litzar es chavero kidei lizkos v'kapar. Unbelievable statement of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He says, what right do you have to cause pain to another person? You have no right. So you're going to go and ask the person mechila and cause them pain. What justification do you have to give them that pain? Because you need a mechila. Because what am I going to do? I have a problem. I have this cloud over my head. I don't know how to get past it. Well, that's your problem. Just because you have a problem, that doesn't mean you have a right to hurt somebody else to take care of your problem. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, too bad. You're going to have to live with this evil piece of Lashon Hara that you shared forever. Wow. That's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Is that surprising to anybody? No? You accept that? Sounds to me like I'm stuck with this forever. And even though it means the implication of that is that I will never be forgiven because I don't have the option, I don't have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Still, I do not have a right to cause pain to another person. Because the only reason why I'm doing that is in order to give myself a mechila. And I have no right to give myself a sense of serenity on the back of somebody else. Vizu hargasha amuka b'taras ha-nefesh v'om ha-kadid. On the other hand, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Titzarech lehodiyo lefaisal menashe yiskaperlo. Says the Chafetz Chaim, I don't understand. What choice do you have? Chafetz Chaim says, you're going to live with this forever? You have to do tshuva. There's a mitzvah of tshuva. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the only option you have is to go to the person, share the negative information with them, and too bad, if it makes them feel hurt, if it makes them feel bad, so you'll have to deal with it. But how else are you going to do tshuva? Says the Chafetz Chaim, of course, you need to approach the other individual, and you need to tell them openly what it is that you said, and that is the only way to come to a sense of understanding. That is what the Chafetz Chaim says. Ach. Okay, here we are. Ach, b'ikra dover. So Rav Asher Weiss argues as follows. Yesh lahashid. Dine kvar kasava mishnebura b'chafetz chayim. Dirake migia nezek ma'mashila chavera ayidei ma'shadibur alav habika avera shebenanam lachavera. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the only time where it's considered a avera shebenanam lachavera is if I actually cause some kind of tangible harm to the other person. But let's say I did it. I said something silly about another person, made other people laugh at that individual, but there was nothing about it that made them lose out tangibly. Ve'enem iskaper, achi ratzos chavero, avo kishalo higia lachavero nezek mamashi. If nothing tangible happened negatively to the person as a result of what I said, ein sarach l'ratzos. I don't have to ask mechila. I need to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I did something wrong, but that's benadam ha-makom. The chiddush of the Chafetz Chaim is it's only called benadam ha-chavero in terms of Lashon Hara if I caused a tangible harm to that person. But lefi dvarav, according to the Chafetz Chaim, ein she'elo zu kol kach ma'asit. This question is not so relevant. What was the question? I said something negative about my friend, and now I don't know how am I going to ask mechila. Should I go to them and share the information? Or do I have to live with this sin forever? So what's the question? The assumption is that my friend didn't know about it. How can my friend not know about it if I caused him some personal harm? Of course he knows about it. And if he doesn't know about it, then it's a mitzvah, then it's an aver shavinanam lamakom, and I don't have to worry about it. All I need to do is deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As any other bin Adam Lamakum would dictate. And therefore he says, this question is basically almost impossible based on the Chiddush of the Chafetz Chaim himself. Does that make sense? Yeah? Anyone not following?
I know that there are times that, like, you could say something that you don't even know that it's negatively
Okay, but that's not something you can ask Mechila for because you don't even know. Uh-huh. So, but that's not what we're describing here. We're talking about a situation where you know that harm was caused, but your friend is not aware of it. How can that be? How can that be? So let's continue reading. Achein zedavr mukhlat, as you very correctly argued, that's not so true that this is always ironclad to be the case. And he says, lefamim yigarim lo tosefes sar. Sometimes I did cause an additional level of pain because of what it is that I said. Biyoso, biyodo zohus hamadaber alav sar kigonim hamadaber hu yidid o ben mishpacha. And now a family member is going to look down on that person, laugh at that person, think negatively about them in the future. And therefore he says, that would be considered ben adam l'chaveiro. Now skip down a paragraph. Ach be'ikar. We have it here? Ach be'ikar. She'elaso. Nira la niyas daiti. Dilo amru ditzarech liratzos es chaveiro. Ela ka'asher ayyidei kein. Yehanu kineged asher tziyaro upagabo. The only time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do this process of tshuva, ben adam l'chaveiro, is when we're going to have the opportunity to fix that which is broken. However, he argues, Aval kasher beritzui ze Yosef litzaro, if by going and initiating a conversation with this person, I'm going to add additional harm to the person, ein mitzvah klal ratzoso. You think there's a mitzvah to go cause harm to another person? It's impossible. It can't be. De'einu ela mosif ched al pesha beritzuya. Why is it that the Gemara says that when I have an issue ben adam l'chaveiro that it's not absolved until I go to that person? Do you think your friend is God? They were able to hold me back from doing tshuva? Halo chazinan. We find the Gemara says that if I went three times and I tried and the person didn't accept, it works anyway. How could it be I didn't accept? The answer is, the point of Ad Shiratz HaShavero is that I have to make sure that I try my best to fix that which is broken. But if the other person is not aware of something that is broken, or the other person is going to be hurt by trying to fix that which is broken, Rav Asher Weiss argues that he doesn't understand how it's feasible to say that somebody should be expected to do that while hurting another person in the process. It just doesn't make sense. Uve emes, skip down a paragraph. Uve emes svarazuk shuta be'enai. Ach mikal makam abi dugmaso. He tries to bring a proof to it, and he looks at a Gemara in the Seches Moed Katan, which is not an exact proof, but it has a similar kind of point. But I think his point is a very strong one. His point is strong, which is, in his opinion, and again, it's getting involved in a big machlokas between great tzaddikim, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim. But he says, how is it possible to say that when we're talking about mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, where the whole objective is to fix that which is broken, do you think in your right mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ever expect you to make something worse and to break it further in the process of fixing, of trying to fix? It can't be. So in his opinion, he says that he thinks this is something that is untenable. It's unacceptable to say such a thing. And as a result of that, he says, if you have a situation where you've spoken Lashon Hara about another person, and the other person is not aware of it, you do not have an obligation or an expectation, nor would you be allowed to go to that person and share the negative information with them. Again, these are just some highlights from the whole idea of tshuva ben adam l'chaveiro, and how it differs from tshuva shebein adam l'makom. But it's important for all of us. I really feel every year when people send out those mass texts, are you mochel me? Are you mochel? I never ever respond. I certainly never send them, but I never respond. They're so meaningless. That's not tshuva. There's nothing about that that's a real tshuva. That's not sincere. If you sincerely believe you did something wrong, maybe we'll talk. Maybe we won't. But if you don't believe you did something wrong, it just cheapens the whole process. So to me, I'm very put off by the whole idea of sending out these mass texts of "Are you mochel me?" It just doesn't really get to the heart of what tshuva is supposed to be, which is a feeling which is an understanding, which is a sensitivity that we're supposed to have when dealing with other people and trying to repair our relationships with them. But it's important for all of us to go through the process and to understand that tshuva is, according to many Rishonim, an actual mitzvah, and it has a number of different components, like the Rambam writes. And it's important for us to always focus on both areas and aspects of what the tshuva process needs to accomplish. Not only the mitzvah shebein adam lachavero, but also the mitzvah shebein adam lamakom as well. They all need together to come through the process of a feeling, of understanding of what it is that we've done wrong and what it is that we hope in the future never to repeat again in any particular area of our lives. So